Welcome to the 13th episode of All Things Crypto, an Elk Finance podcast. I'm Shiloh, also known as LT Snake Plissken.
And I am Freed.
So today we're discussing a few things: ElkNet V2, the recent token upgrade, and our experience at the 2022 Avalanche Summit.
Woohoo! Please keep in mind, we are not financial advisors, and this is not a financial advice. If you're looking for a financial advice, please find a licensed advisor in your area.
As always, we want to provide people the resources who are interested in crypto, and if we get something wrong, please let us know. We obviously welcome your feedback. Come chat with us on our Telegram at t.me/elk_finance_chat, or head over to our docs at docs.elk.finance to find some other links. All right, let's get started.
Let's get started here. So what is the deal with this upgrade? Why did we upgrade the token?
So with the ELK token, we decided to upgrade to a third version of the ELK token because the current version doesn't fit as well with the reservoir system that I'll talk about a little bit with ElkNet V2. Basically, there were some functions in the contract that we wouldn't be using. So they would just kind of be lying around and people would be asking about them, and they wouldn't be exploitable, but we didn't want to give anyone the chance to take a look and wonder what was going on. Now, one advantage of having the new token meant we could kind of organize it in a better way. If we kept the old token and we did the upgrade, we would actually have to mint a bunch of new tokens and put them in reservoirs. And we don't know what that would do necessarily to anyone tracking the token if they weren't in the loop about the upgrade. They would just see all this ELK being minted. And of course, we would have kept an eye on our APIs. Those are those things that help us track where the tokens are and what's going on. But other projects might have wondered what we were doing, and it might have caused some panic. So we thought the best way to do that was with a token upgrade. And not only that, the upgraded token idea kind of allowed us to capture a governance vote. It's actually the first governance vote in the history of ELK.
Oh, that explains the form you have to fill up when you're upgrading it.
Exactly. You get a few different options to kind of select. And some of those are basically going to be whether you vote for the exploit insurance contract, the treasury contract, the team vesting, and all of those things. So it would be great to for you to go check those out. You can see them on the ElkNet DEX. That's app.elk.finance when you go to upgrade your token. You get to kind of cast those votes. So that's pretty exciting.
So if you don't upgrade your token, what will happen?
That's a good question. So right now, as of the recording of this podcast, the rewards for the old farms have stopped. So there, you can no longer get those rewards. Of course, you can pull out the token and upgrade and migrate to the new farms. It's just, it upgrades one-to-one. If you got 10 ELK that you've got in old ELK, and you upgrade it to the new ELK, you get 10 new ELK. So it's same for same. And so if you put into the new farms, of course, the upgrade will resume. Same with single staking. You upgrade it and put it in there, and it'll be good to go. We had a few days of overlap, but since that's being over, you want to upgrade as soon as possible if you want to keep earning rewards.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because the process for upgrading is extremely simple. Do you want to walk listeners through that?
Sure, yeah. If you haven't already, all you have to do is head on over to app.elk.finance, and you'll see a little red box pop up on the farms if you haven't upgraded your token. It'll tell you to withdraw from the farm, withdraw from the pool, upgrade your ELK tokens along with that governance vote using the new UI, and then all you have to do is pair your ELK tokens again and put them back into the new farm. Of course, the first couple steps with the pulling under the old farms and the pool are best done with the old ELK legacy app, which is just the old version of our app, and that's legacy.elk.finance to do that. But it's relatively simple if you just follow those links laid out right there.
Perfect. And can you explain a little bit more about the ElkNet upgrade?
Yeah, so ElkNet V2 is actually one of the most exciting pieces of the upgrade in general. So a few different things have changed. One of the most exciting things here is our move from a mint and burn kind of way of transferring ELK across chain to a reserve reservoir system. Now, previously with ElkNet V1, how it worked is a user would send their ELK to the bridge contract using our interface, saying, let's say they wanted to transfer from Avalanche to I don't know, Polygon. So they would send their ELK to the reservoir contract in the interface. Basically, all they do is put their amount of ELK they wanted to send to Polygon from Avalanche, and they would confirm it. And all it would do then is it would send that amount of ELK to the Avalanche bridge contract, and then it would burn that amount of ELK, as in get rid of it, take it out of circulation. Now, ElkNet would pick that up, and then it would send a signal to the contract on Polygon to basically mint that amount of ELK and send it to the user's wallet. Now, this kind of gets expensive over time, because there's actually a few transactions happening here. The first transaction that's happening is the user sending to the reservoir, or to the bridge contract, and then the bridge contract is burning the token, which is another transaction in itself. And then on the destination chain, the new ELK is minted, which is another transaction, and then that amount of ELK is sent to the user's wallet. So that's four transactions.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're doing more transactions, that costs more gas, as in a small amount of the native token. So when we moved to ElkNet V2, we wanted to minimize that. So on all the chains, except for Avalanche, we have the entire supply of ELK in a reservoir, securely locked on each chain. So now all a user has to do behind the scenes, it still works the same. They can still go to the app.elk.finance and go to the ElkNet page and just, take their 10 ELK from Avalanche and transfer it to Polygon. So they would, get 10, put 10 ELK in the box there, hit transfer, but behind the scenes, what would happen is that 10 ELK would be sent to the reservoir contract, which ElkNet would pick up, and it would say, okay, cool, and it waits for multiple confirmations from multiple sources, RPCs in this case, and when it's final and the transaction can't be reversed, it would then send a signal to the destination chain that would send that same amount of ELK minus a small fee. On Avalanche, it's right now 2 ELK. Other blockchains, it's 0.1. So we're taking a small fee now.
Mm-hmm.
And that is sent, that amount minus the fee is then simply sent from the reservoir to the user's wallet. So the only two transactions happening on the blockchain are user sends ELK to reservoir contract, reservoir contract on destination chain sends to user's wallet. So we're effectively reducing the cost of transactions about three times, because these,
that is impressive.
Yeah, and the mint and the burn were really more, especially the mint function, was a more expensive transaction. So now we just have basically two single transactions that a user has to pay, which is much cheaper, and it's much cheaper, especially that matters on things like Ethereum, right? When chains like Ethereum that we move to.
So how do you make sure that you have enough in these reservoirs? Is it going to be balanced every night, every hour?
Actually, the beauty of it is it doesn't have to be, because we have the entire supply on every reservoir. So we have 42 million ELK in every reservoir, of course, locked safely away. We even have measures in against a 51% attack that that ElkNet will not let things go through. So we never have to rebalance anything. And theoretically, all Elk could pretty much go to any chain, and it wouldn't affect anything.
That is very smart. Yeah. I love that idea. Yeah. And it's just, oh man, I am really excited actually about the V2.
Yeah, and you can go try it right now. It's up, it's live, it's fast. We had to sort out some glitches with the Kronos chain, but it sounds like Ball has, as always, come up with a creative solution and solved a great difficult problem. So, it's working pretty well.
Yeah, the other thing I want to highlight is just the user interface. You know, it has the elements of the old one, but it's really nicely done. It's very intuitive, and it's very clean. It cleaned out quite a bit compared to V1.
Yes, the UI upgrade is something to behold. It was kind of a labor of love, and big thanks to our design team as well as our front end guys and the team we worked with to get this going. It's been awesome. They've been all so great, and it looks beautiful. So.
Yeah, for some of the listeners, they do want to comment on how much work it was to get to this stage, you know, because it's not, it doesn't sound like it was an easy job.
Yeah, and especially for developers, a lot of hard work and some creative engineering to get everything working and making sure it's safe, right? So sometimes, we miss a little bit of targets, but our main thing is we want to be putting out something that's going to work and going to be secure. Because if we look at recent exploits from Wormhole and, a few other bridges that recently kind of have endured an exploit, we kind of see that and we want to make sure that that's not going to happen. And it's highly unlikely due to the way ElkNet works as kind of a ElkNet being the center of the ecosystem. It's kind of the checks and balances of the ecosystem. And it relies on multiple sources on each blockchain. So it doesn't ever listen to just one thing. It's three things is much better. And it waits some time to make sure that is for sure. And all the things agree. And a very cool thing with this V2 is it's kind of a step towards being completely decentralized. Mm-hmm. Because as we go forward here with ElkNet V3, we'll be kind of fully decentralized. That's when we're talking about nodes. Being able to operate a node with ElkNet will be really exciting and helpful. And a portion of those fees that are happening will go back to those who are, running those nodes. It'll work as a proof of stake thing where users will be able to stake a certain amount of ELK that will start quite high and then, reduce over time as we have more people in the network to ensure safety. So we really can't wait for that. As well as with ElkNet V2, one of the hidden features that you wouldn't know about is the interchain messaging layer. That's able to send packets of data across different chains.
Why would that matter?
Yeah, so imagine if you were on Avalanche and you wanted to interact with a smart contract on Polygon, mm-hmm. right? You could just straight up do that. And it enables a lot of features for developers who want to build on ElkNet.
Oh, yeah. That is impressive. You know what? This is something which is really amazing about Elk, and this is something very exciting, actually, that they are trying to stay relevant. They try to make sure that they have all these features built in to kind of work with all the chains and just give the developers the opportunity to just build in this ecosystem they're building.
Exactly, and that's the whole bridging as a service, right? So ElkNet V2 will enable the use of proxy tokens. So being able to stake that moose, like we've talked about in a previous episode, all about Elk. We did mention that as well as our Moose NFT episode, mentioning proxy tokens, being able to use our upcoming software development kit to just straight up create a proxy token, which, chains can projects can spend a very long time developing something. But with elk net and a moose, all they've got to do is kind of tick some options, create a contract exactly the same from their origin chain on the destination chain with the properties of the elk token, have these reservoirs set up, and you know, or they can do mint burn if they wanted to, and go from there. All they got to do is add liquidity. So we're kind of looking forward to being that collaborative open source piece of equipment that allows chains to connect.
Well, these are exciting times to be part of this massive, interesting movement.
Absolutely.
So let's move on. How was the summit?
Man, the summit was the coolest thing ever, and we were both there. It was great.
It was packed with people.
Yes.
A lot of smart people, which it was humbling.
Yes.
But it was extremely interesting to see how people are looking at their developments and what they want to achieve. It was impressive.
Yeah, it was amazing, and the collective IQ in the room must have been, you know, through the roof. And not only that, Avalanche did a really good job organizing and
kudos
hosting.
Kudos to them.
Absolutely. Like, it was the fanciest thing I've ever been to in my entire life. Those of you who were lucky enough to tune into our Friday night social that we streamed, and they're feeding us shrimp and, you know, all sorts of things.
All the cocktails and wine. Yeah, yeah, no, it was one of the most impressive conferences I've ever attended.
Absolutely.
It was well planned. And one of the things which was very interesting to me, Shiloh, being there, was the openness of people from wide range of projects to talk to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the coolest things was just being able to start a conversation with anybody. And nobody, like, kind of wanted to walk away from, you know, the conversation. And I was, you know, talking about elk and how excited I was about it. And, you know, of course, we're working on partnerships in person with these projects who we've talked to on Telegram, but never in person. And everyone is so receptive. And it was just so awesome and collaborative. And everybody was just, was like, you know, wanted to work together and putting faces to names. The amount of, like, you know, different investors and venture capitalists there. Everyone wanted to talk about it and hear about elk, which was legitimately cool that, you know, I didn't, it's not like I ever had to feel like I was pitching to somebody who wasn't interested, which was very cool.
He was pitching though, you know, because he lost his voice on a second day. He was just trying to just talk to everybody and just spread the whole idea of elk and what we are doing. But you know what, the way they did it in the conference, for people who couldn't make it, was on your badge you had your name plus your affiliation with the project, and it was just as easy as looking at somebody's name tag and just basically starting a conversation. It wasn't really anything like formal that you have to get in a room with some people, so it was very impressive. But going back on what it had for elk, do you want to elaborate on that, Shiloh?
Yeah, I think what it had for elk was a lot of partnerships, a lot of interest from certain investors, and, you know, venture capitalists that we talked to that were really excited about the concept of elk. And so, like, I can't obviously say specifics right at this point, and I'm sure, like, some of that will come out in given time, but it looks like this vote will probably go through for the Elk Labs treasury, which is great, which will allow us to incorporate in the easiest way possible and kind of get investment in Elk Labs as well, so that we can kind of pursue some of that, those lofty development goals, and really kind of get there. And we're kind of in the position where we want to build the technology first, which we're doing, and you can see,
mm-hmm.
before we, you know, have that outside investment or anything like that, getting that investment in the company itself, ideally. So, you know, keeping the investors safe, and also, you know, providing the most security for the venture capitalist investing as well. So everyone kind of wins, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah, it was really exciting at the summit to just just network and connect. Everything was awesome. Seeing the talks, learning, about various things like specifics about the Avalanche subnet, having some great conversations with various people from Ava Labs, talking about a subnet and whether we can get our hands on one or not. It is up to who knows. But something like that could be very very handy, and maybe even using ElkNet to bridge between subnets
Yeah,
is
absolutely.
very, very doable. So, yeah, very exciting.
The other feature which was very interesting was the interest on the venture capitals on that. Do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, I just would think that they were all really wanted to hear more about Elk and really liked our model and what we were doing and the fact that we could kind of show something that was working. And there was some definite interest in investing in the Elk Labs, the company. And I can't speak for exactly what that'll result in, but the reception was very positive, and it's.
You know what? I was there for two or three talks, and it was very impressive. Again, I can't really mention any names, but you could see that they were very open in their interest, and they were really kind of wanted to follow up and just basically see how they can make something work with us. So that was very impressive, actually. And I personally think that the team on Elk side, they did a fantastic job because, I don't know, it was like six or seven of us running around, and everybody was like a busy bee in each corner trying to talk, trying to make connections. And that was really interesting to see, because sometimes the day we were starting around 9 a.m. and we didn't have the chance to just even sit down, have a lunch together,
That's
despite we
right.
were like 10 meters away from each other.
That's right. And like by the end of the conference, going in and everyone saying hi to me because they knew who I was because I talked to
It was very impressive, and I was shocked, because the other thing which was very interesting, and I think for the community is going to be it's fun to hear this, is Elk is more known more than what we think.
Yes.
That was a surprise to me. I mean, you're closer to the project than me, but it was very impressive to me that a lot of people were basically seeing Elk on a name tag and shouting Elk and just like, wow.
And so many people being like, "Oh my gosh, that's how I first got on Avalanche. I used ElkNet to get over there." And just people like knowing who I was by, "Oh, I saw your videos," or, "Oh, you're Snake Plissken." Crazy. Like, not everybody, but just to be recognized by a stranger is not ever an experience I've had in
Yeah,
my
but you have
life.
to put this in the context. Again, I have to correct myself. It's not everybody, but it's big enough
You're big
number.
enough that people
Because
knew who
you're
we were.
because you're talking about people from I don't know, Middle East, people from Asia, people from Europe. It's just like a such a diverse group from literally all around the world
Yeah,
there.
for sure. It was very cool. And I'm really looking forward to next year.
I'm sure you do. Do you think that these summits, these opportunities to talk, is going to have a meaningful impact? And do you think that soon we're going to see something good coming out of this?
I mean, I can't speculate on exactly what that would look like, but I think so. I mean, we just got to meet with a lot of people, helped us organize our Avalanche Rush campaign that we're launching right away, our Avalanche campaign, and on our on our Elk decks, and just meeting with the people and garnered the interest we garnered, there's no way it didn't have a positive impact. Of course it did. Like, it was great.
No,
So
absolutely.
I think well worth it. And the more conferences and things that we can be at, maybe, we don't need the whole team there, but it certainly was great to have what, nine people from Elk there, which was very cool.
It was really cool. And the other thing which I want to touch on is it was for me, I was very nervous to meet the team, because you talk to them I don't know, through Team or Zoom or whatever,
Telegram,
and Telegram, and it's just like suddenly you're in the same place as them and you're talking to them. And It was such an amazing experience and such a great team. Very chill, very dedicated to the project. That was a lot of fun, and I just want to thank everybody from Elk Team, which provided such a great experience, actually.
Yeah, it was so good. It was so great to. It's the first time I'd met, the team I've worked closely with for this whole time, in person, which was excellent. Everyone is so awesome. It was incredible.
Yeah, the point I was trying to make here is just that the team has such a great energy and such a great passion for making this work, and at the same time, seamlessly working together was something which I personally observed.
Yeah, which is awesome. So we never didn't know exactly how it would look, but it was great. So,
Perfect.
all right.
I believe I asked all the questions I had, Carlo, for this episode.
Sure. And yeah, thanks again for tuning in, everyone. And we'll be back with another podcast in the next few weeks. And look forward to seeing you guys again. And you can check us out on our new centralized exchange listing. Our first with the. Who.com, that's HOO.com. And we're listing there soon, but sure, more to come. All right, guys, have a great one.
Thank you very much.